I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi everyone, it's Imogen, the voice of Imogen from Stella Firma. Today I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Waters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, that's Woe, full stop, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hi everyone, Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Alex, Rob Young, Jen Van Meter, Jeffrey D. Brainerd, Alex Antilla, Lowe, Kevin Lovecraft, Marjorie Clare, Andrew Hall, Porkchop Crandall, Alex Rose, Rosalyn, John Lozano, Rowan McBean, Mildred, Amelia Stevenson, Mike Weiss, Finn Garza, Tommy Parker, Cornflake of Doom. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Special thanks to Stefan Spiker for today's submission. May you achieve escape velocity.
Rusty Quill presents Stella Firma.
I knew it. Knew nothing would change. Friends. We're friends. Well, 10 minutes, not a friend. Look, I knew this was going to happen.
David!
Traxel!
David Seven, there you are. I've been looking for you. Where have you been?
In this, the same room I've always been in.
Isn't that just like you, David? Always in the room, because you can't leave.
Yes. Yes, that's very much like me.
Not allowed to leave. I know what you're thinking. He said he'd be earlier. And you're right, David. I did say I'd try and be a little bit earlier. I did say that. But the funniest thing happened, David. I was walking along the Western Terrace. Mm-hmm. And I saw a beautiful pebble. And I thought, I should get David a gift. He's my friend now. He's a friend of mine.
Right.
We're friends. And I thought, what can a friend get a friend more than a lovely pebble?
Being on time.
And I dropped that pebble and it fed a load of other pebbles. And I thought, well, I have to find that pebble again. So I was digging through and thinking, I've got to do something for David. He's put up with so much from me. And I thought, I have to find him that pebble. And I couldn't find it. But I thought, I'll find a good other pebble.
Right.
There's a couple of million pebbles on the Western Promenade. So I started sifting through and I draw sort of a crowd. And I did throw a couple of pebbles. Security didn't take too kind to that, so they detained me for a few hours for questioning and light tasering. But after that, I got out and I thought, you know what? It's time to go, pebble or no, to David to do some hardcore planet design.
So you don't have the pebble?
I don't have the pebble. But I do have this letter I wrote you.
Oh.
Can I read it out?
Yes.
Okay. From the desk of Traxel Geissman.
No, because this is your desk, so...
Do you really want to do that? I've written you a lovely letter, David.
Yes. No, let's listen to the letter.
Right. From the bedroom of Traxel Geissman. Dear David Seven, I'm Traxel Geissman. Hi. You know, I've been doing this for many years. Excellently. In fact, I'm really quite respected. In fact, you know what? You're welcome. There you go.
Thank you. Yes, I'll take
keep
that.
That's signed by me. So you can pop that on your wall there. Point it out to passers-by. Right.
Yes, so shall we do the brief?
Why not?
Sign the planet.
Between friends? Yes. Let's do the brief, David.
Right, yes. Okay, well, good. I'm going to get it out now, then.
Initiating.
Okay, so this client is Oren Thrule.
Oren Thrule.
They want this planet in order to host the exhibits for their latest intergalactic art show, Rebirth of the Star Marlin.
Rebirth of the Star Marlin. Ah, a sequel. Have you heard of the Birth of the Star Marlin?
No.
A wonderful show. A wonderful show. Oren did an amazing job on that one. I didn't go because it sounded like it would be culture. But I heard a lot of people did go, and they were like, gosh, that's quite the Star Marlin. Did you see it get born? Did you see the birthing sac? Did you see it split? Did you see the Marlin midwives taking it out and cleaning it up?
Okay, so this is a show about
the birthing of the Star Marlin.
Okay, and do you know what the rebirth of the Star Marlin is about? I don't know if they've done any previews or anything like that, but I don't really have access to...
Check on Imogen. You'll get a clip of the original. Just type in the birth of the Star Marlin. It's a classic, David, heard.
Right.
Opening Holovid. Okay. Birth of the Star Marlin.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ah, there's the Star Marlin. Birth.
Oh.
There you are. That's perfect. So much more fluid than you'd expect. Culture.
I'm going to turn it off.
That's easy, okay, right? Culture. The rebirth, I imagine somebody's popped it back up and it's coming out again.
Oh.
At a guess, that's what I'd say is happening.
Right. So the Star Marlins, is that a real thing?
Do you want to roll back the tape? That's a Star Marlin.
Oh, that's actually a... That's not a prop.
They're a benevolent force in the universe. The Star Marlin is a symbol of hope and purity in the galaxy. Like a fine, chilled glass of vodka. It sits there, pure, unblemished. That's the Star Marlin.
Okay, that Star Marlin looked pretty blemished to me, and what it was doing was not pure.
Birth is beautiful, David. Birth is beautiful. Remember when you were born? How was that?
Awful.
Okay, maybe a bad example because you're a clone and your birthing process was a little bit awful, but real people birth and real Marlin birth is a beautiful thing. And a time for bonding, a time for coming together, a time to be covered in amniotic fluid.
Okay, right. Well, what they want is something for this rebirth,
yes,
of the Star Marlin, to host the exhibits for the latest Intergalactic Art Show, so... There are exhibits?
Yes, of course. This Star Marlin's been alive for a while. It's being reborn, sure. But you need the accoutrement of a Star Marlin life well lived.
Right, so this was sort of a walking show where you'd wend your way through the various artifacts of the Star Marlin, and then the pièce de résistance was watching
the rebirth of the Star Marlin.
Right, okay. Well, what they absolutely must have is excellent lighting.
Well, of course. If you can't see the Star Marlin being born, what's the point of going to the rebirth of the Star Marlin show? Oh, look, I'm looking at the artifacts that have made up the life of one of the beautiful creatures that are Star Marlins. Oh, no, it's entirely dark. Are you a moron, David?
What? That's the non-negotiable feature. So they thought that it was necessary to specify that, so...
Fine. Well, you know, sometimes artists are a little flighty. Oh, I need light. Oh, oxygen, please. Demanding people.
Right. This is I'm assuming this is like the same sort of format as the previous one, so...
No, David. Silly, stupid David. Quiet. Shh. Just quiet, David. Quiet. I'm just going to press my hand up against your face. Mm. Stupid. Stupid, beautiful David. Mm-hmm. Shut your face. Mm-hmm. Shut it. Shut that hole.
Prolonged clone consultant contact. Security alerted.
Mm-hmm.
The first birth of the Star Marlin... As the name suggests, was the first birth of the Star Marlin. What exhibit is he going to have? My first day in the womb? My 400th day in the womb? Wombs are pretty similar. It's just a gently growing egg that then gets, like, arms and a face. You know, there's not much to go in there. That's maybe like one wall of an exhibit. So with that one, it was like, hello, sit down, bam, Birth of the Star, Marlin.
Right.
One showing, get out, buy some candy floss. You know, that real first effort.
Okay.
This is a more mature show. A more mature showing. Now it's about the journey of the star, Marlin. You can't be reborn unless there's something you're being reborn from. So many hopes. Roleplay, David. Roleplay. We need to do some roleplay.
Okay.
We need to do some roleplay.
Right.
Roleplay.
Yes.
Roleplay Holovision initiated.
You're a newly born star, Marlin. You've got it. That's exactly how the star Marlin sounds. You are a universal symbol of peace and prosperity. Everything that you do is watched like a hawk. Will you unite two people, or will your ignorance of their plight cause a war? It's all possible.
Oh.
You're a star, Marlin.
Oh.
You're a symbol for everything that is good and hopeful.
Oh, this
and
is a lot of pressure.
Exactly, and your failure will directly hurt people.
Oh.
Now, imagine you're in a world with information superhighways crisscrossing this way and that, everybody watching your every move, every planet, billions upon billions of beings looking at you every day.
No.
Look to the star,
that's too
Marlin.
Much.
Help
that's
us.
Too much.
Save
no,
us.
I can't.
Save us.
I can't.
Want to be reborn? Want to start anew? Want a fresh start?
Are people going to look at me less?
Maybe, who knows?
Could be reborn not as a star, Marlin?
It's the rebirth of the star, Marlin, David. You can't be born as something else.
Okay, well, if I'm going to be reborn, could I maybe be a less pressured star, Marlin?
Perhaps. Only you can write that story, star Marlin, David. Only you. As we follow the rebirth of the star, Marlin.
Roleplay Holovision terminated.
You see?
No, because I didn't write the show. I didn't make the show, so I don't know. Like, I felt like that when you described being a star Marlin to me, but we can't assume that that's how Oren Thrall will approach this kind of thing. Art is subjective.
You can't assume. David, all I do is assume every single day. Assume this, assume that. Well, never ask anyone their opinion.
Maybe that's the problem.
The problem?
Yes.
David, it's a good point. Okay, I won't assume.
Right.
What do we do?
Ah.
Ha ha! I have got you in a logical trap. If I don't assume, how can I create? If I'm waiting on everybody for their input... I won't make this mountain explode every Thursday because I'm waiting for the input from the client. Oh, maybe they want nitrogen in the atmosphere, but I've used ammonia. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. I'm not going to wait around for some pencil-necked pencil pusher to pencil me in their pencil book for a pencil meeting, am I?
Okay.
Am I?
No.
Have I done that?
No.
Exactly.
Okay, well, in which case, maybe in the past your assumptions have been slightly wide of the mark, hence the reaction and feedback we've had and the deaths you've caused on those planets.
Almost certainly.
So, what would you assume about the rebirth of the star, Marlin?
Fluids.
Okay.
You need to waterproof the room.
Right.
This is going to be a fluid affair. Sloshing gallons of amniotic sac fluids.
Okay.
Everywhere.
Right.
You don't want to keep any books on the floor. They'll be ruined.
Oh.
Got any old antique furniture? Keep it off the floor.
Right.
It'll be covered in birth fluid.
Okay.
So we need a tank. In fact, let's make a pit. Tanks are easier than pits. Right. An entirely waterproof world. Water can't even touch its surface. It just springs off.
Okay. How are they going to drink?
They don't. It's an art exhibit. Keep them thirsty. Keep them off balance. Keep them off kilter. This is a hostile world because art isn't your friend.
How long was the birth of the star, Marlin?
29 hours.
Okay, and sequels are usually longer.
64 hours.
Okay, so we're going to have people not drinking anything for 64 hours.
Yes.
Now, remember what I said about your assumptions? So let's do the opposite of that.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Fluid everywhere.
No. Nope.
Everybody's drowning.
What? No.
In fact... Everybody turns up to an entire water world. You tie a lead weight to their foot. It's fresh water, though. Drink as much as you want. Are you happy now?
No,
you've got
just...
water!
No, that just murders people.
But that's the exact opposite of what I said.
No, it's not.
Is it not?
No, where did the lead come from? Where did the drowning come from?
You've got to get him in the water.
No, you don't have
really
to get them
in
the water.
Man.
You just said that you need to be a waterproof room because there's going to be a lot of water. All I'm going to assume now is that the rebirth of Star Island is a particularly dry affair.
Okay.
It should take place on a mountain.
Fine.
Actually, what's the habitat of a star? Marlin, I assume it's the void of space.
It is indeed the void of space. They glide through the void of space, dispensing justice and wisdom hither and yon.
Okay, so why do you think it's so wet?
In space?
Yes.
Have you been in space? Have you been in the vacuum of space, David? Look in my eyes. Tell me, are you a vacuum of space man?
No.
Are you a vacuum man?
No.
Are you a V-man?
No.
In which case, I vehemently say, you know nothing of space. And neither do I. So who's to say, David? Water is a fluid. and gas can act like a fluid. So in the vacuum of space where there's no gas, then why wouldn't it act like a fluid as much as a fluid would? Do you follow? It's a logical progression, David. Gases can be like fluids. Fluids can be like gases. There isn't any gas or fluid in space, so maybe the space is a fluid gas. Maybe it's a fluid gaseous fluid flow, flowing fluidly through the flow.
Okay, I think we've got a bit too hung up on the star, Marvin.
What is gas?
Gas. A gaseous substance.
Right. It's a show. It's an art show.
Yes.
Okay? So what do you need for art show? And they want good lighting, okay?
Ah.
Which implies that maybe they need the things that shows normally need.
The light is the show.
No, the show is the rebirth of the star,
no,
Marlon.
David, shut up. The light is the show. You have a lamp. You have an uplighter. Au contraire, sir. That's merely a way of saying I have been defeated by a system that I hate. Oh, I'm showing art that is supposed to challenge the patriarchy and challenge the preconceptions of your universe, but I'm using a lamp. What is a lamp other than an expression of control? Down with the lamp. Up with the imprisoned sun. You lasso a sun out of the sky. We don't make one, David. We steal one. We thieve a sun away from a solar system, casting it into everlasting darkness.
What?
And you imprison the sun in an orb, and around that orb you channel mirrors, and then you channel the mirror orb hole, tramp it into the room in which you're lighting, and is lit with the thousand lumen light of a stolen sun. And there is your art.
Okay. Two things. How many lumens do you think is in a sun?
Oh, a lot
more than 1,000.
Is it more than 1,000?
Yes. Second, right? How do you think solar systems work? You can't just take the sun out of them. They're not just dark.
But that's art, David.
No, you've just killed, like, billions of people.
No, we'll only need it for a weekend. We'll put it back later.
The solar system's gone
by then.
Really?
Yes. Well, it all just sort of hold in place until we put it back?
No, the sun's what holds it in place.
Gravity, of course. I've got... Well, thank goodness you were here, David. I was this close to stealing plenty of suns.
Well, look.
That's how my last four wars started, so...
The idea of the imprisoned sun is quite interesting.
Yes.
They want excellent lighting.
Yes.
The sun is an excellent way to make light.
And the imprisonment of it is such a comment on the fact that you've imprisoned a sun.
Okay, look, Trexel. It sounds like maybe you have some bunched up creativity that needs an outlet, okay?
Yes. So I just want to help, David. You understand. I just want to help.
Maybe you should go and write a play in your own time.
I actually have a small manuscript.
Okay, no,
if
not
Rove detected.
Okay. Trexel.
Security alerted.
We open on a summer's day. Earth 3.6. The Kreluvian era. Capitan Dag watches over...
Okay, scene. Right, we can't do this now. We have a planet to design.
Yes, of course, okay. of course.
And
David.
The show is the rebirth of the star Marlin.
Yes.
By Oren Thrule.
Okay. Well,
whatever that was by Trexel Geisman.
What have we got so far?
Nothing.
Nothing, surely not.
No, we've got an imprisoned sun.
Yes.
But nothing else.
Okay, well, we've got 4 or so minutes left. Okay, let's back to basics. Strip it back. Nothingness.
No
atoms at all.
No, okay.
We start physics from the word go. Right, first physical law, David. Give me a physical law.
No, we're not doing it. We have to make a planet.
You don't want to be too complicated. I strip it back and that's too
simple. Okay, you've stripped it back too far. Can we please just start with a planet?
Okay.
A ball, right? What's the environment of this planet?
Non-Newtonian.
A, that's not an environment. And B, it makes no sense.
Well, I don't know what you're
Can we just have a ball that... They want to put on an art show, right?
Yes.
They just want a nice place to put on an art show.
All right,
somewhere
fine.
Fancy.
Okay,
so
fine.
They can have their clientele
okay,
there.
That's fine.
With good lighting.
I'm saying it's fine. Everything's fine. We're having a lot of fun and everything's fine. Okay, you want a little planet. Just a little dinky, short-use planet for a little art show to
be on. It doesn't even have to be short-use. It just has to be a planet where you can put on an art show.
Well, would it just be sitting around after the show's done, 64 hours? We put a time bomb in the middle
no,
of it.
No, they've paid for the planet. They can keep it.
Fine, if you want to be really reductive about it, David. I didn't
realise
you were such a square.
That's not what reductive means.
A reductive square. Look at that square reducing. I can barely see it anymore.
What?
Oh, it's just a pixel.
Okay,
a pixel on a screen.
Really
a
tiny square that wants to design a good planet.
David, I've upset you. And for that, you are sorry. But we have to agree on something, David. We haven't got that much long left.
Okay, you saw some stuff about the birth of the star, Marlin.
Yes.
Right? Apart from that horrible video you showed me.
Yes.
Is that pretty much everything you know about the star, Marlin?
Yeah, almost absolutely. I didn't even go to that show.
Okay, well, if it's still a birth, then it should look like maybe a place where a birth should happen. Maybe some sort of operating theatre. They're going to need a big building.
Yes.
For this show.
Okay.
Maybe it should look like a big hospital.
And every single member of staff of the hospital is a captured, imprisoned son!
What?
Forced into labour against their needs and wills! I don't want to operate on this lady! I haven't got arms! I'm just an orb under high pressure!
Assumedly, Orin Thrull will bring their own staff members!
So you don't want all the staff to be imprisoned, Sam?
No!
What about coerced moons?
That doesn't... You've just made that up.
A blackmailed comet!
That's not even a thing!
Okay, well, you obviously haven't lived, David. I've blackmailed a comet or two in my time.
Well, I don't think they're going to be
very... I've got pictures of your icy tail, so you better do what I say.
Okay, I just don't think they're going to be very useful staffing an art show.
All right. Tell you what, David. There's such a thing as a hospital cube.
Right. What's one of those?
It's a big cube, which is pretty much automatically kitted out to be a hospital.
Brilliant.
How about we just use one of them, put a time bomb in the middle, staff it with suns, orbit it around a moon that's actually as big as a sun, so it gently becomes a sun as it orbits around.
Actually, yes. No, fine, Trexel.
Yes.
These are all brilliant ideas.
Thank you.
I'm just writing them all down in the brief, and look, we've not got much time
left,
so you've nailed it again.
Nailed it again.
Off it goes.
There it goes. Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Brilliant. So,
you know, we work better as friends, David. We work better as friends because, you know, I'm going to admit that previously I've been a little incalcitrant in my approach to the design process, my way or the highway. But this more collaborative approach, David, you know, as friends, as, I'm not going to say equals, because I'm absolutely not your equal. I'm above you in every single way conceivable. But beyond that, it's a much nicer way of working, don't you think?
Yes. It was beautifully relaxing. Now, I'm sure you have a lot of things to be getting on with.
No, I just want to bond, David. How about we talk about you? How are you feeling, David? You can tell old Drexel.
Okay.
You can tell Uncle Drexel.
Well,
I may be your boss, David, but I'm also your friend who's your boss.
Well, maybe. I mean, I was really interested in the script you were writing, so... But I thought that maybe the first draft's a little rough. Maybe you want to go away and workshop that, and then you can...
But you think there's potential there?
Oh, no, absolutely. Yes, I think you should probably go and work on it right now.
Would you like me to do the... I have a character treatment for a character I call Dominic Quailface. Would you like to read that for quickly?
Oh, no, I'm sure it's really, really good.
Okay,
so you should probably just maybe go and write him in more. He sounds so very compelling.
Well, he's one of the Quailface 9, so I would hope so.
Okay, well, why not Quailface 10?
Quailface 10, you say?
Yes. Oh, yes. Why don't you go...
Yes, of course, that's what's been missing from the 16th act.
Okay, excellent.
There's only 9 Quailfaces, so maybe if there was a Quailface, then would... Yes, of course. Thank you, David. Thank you.
Right. Now I can get some proper work done.
Stella Firma is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill Limited and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. It was created by Tim Meredith and Ben Meredith and produced by Lori Ann Davis with executive producer Alexander J. Newell. In today's episode, Imogen was played by Imogen Harris. David Seven was played by Ben Meredith. And Drexel Geisman was played by Tim Meredith. The episode was edited by David Devereaux and Alexander J. Newell, with music by Samuel D.F. Jones and artwork by Annika Khan. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Discord, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at @TheRustyQuill, join our Reddit community on r/RustyQuill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. May the board preserve and keep you.
Hi everyone, it's Imogen, the voice of Imogen from Stella Firma. Today I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Waters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, that's Woe, full stop, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.